Blog Talk Radio.
Steps to Christ. Chapter 1. God's Love for Man. Nature and revelation alike testify of God's love. Our Father in heaven is the source of life, of wisdom, and of joy. Look at the wonderful and beautiful things of nature. Think of their marvelous adaptation to the needs and happiness not only of man, but of all living creatures. The sunshine and the rain that gladden and refresh the earth, the hills and seas and plains, all speak to us of the Creator's love. It is God who supplies the daily needs of all His creatures. In the beautiful words of the psalmist, "The eyes of all wait upon Thee, and Thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing." Psalm 145, verses 15 and 16. God made man perfectly holy and happy, and the fair earth, as it came from the Creator's hand, bore no blight of decay or shadow of the curse. It is transgression of God's law, the law of love, that has brought woe and death. Yet, even amid the suffering that results from sin, God's love is revealed. It is written that God cursed the ground for man's sake, Genesis 3:17, the thorn and the thistle, the difficulties and trials that make his life one of toil and care, were appointed for his good as a part of the training needful in God's plan for his uplifting from the ruin and degradation that sin has wrought. The world, though fallen, is not all sorrow and misery. In nature itself are messages of hope and comfort. There are flowers upon the thistles, and the thorns are covered with roses. God is love is written upon every opening bud, upon every spire of springing grass. The lovely birds making the air vocal with their happy songs, the delicately tinted flowers in their perfection perfuming the air, the lofty trees of the forest with their rich foliage of living green, all testify to the tender, fatherly care of our God, and to His desire to make His children happy. The Word of God reveals His character. He Himself has declared His infinite love and pity. When Moses prayed, "Show me Thy glory," the Lord answered, "I will make all My goodness pass before Thee." Exodus chapter 33, verses 18 and 19. This is His glory. The Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7. He is slow to anger, and of great kindness, because He delighteth in mercy. Jonah chapter 4, verse 2, Micah chapter 7, verse 18. God has bound our...
Good evening, brothers and sisters. We want to thank the Lord for this opportunity once again to be on the prayer line. And I would like to have a prayer. And I'm thanking the Lord for my brothers and sisters that we are here to fellowship and worship God together. So let us begin with a prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, holy is your name. Father, we come before you, Father, to thank you once again for this prayer line. Lord, first we come to thank you for the many years that you have given to this prayer line, that we are able to come together, Lord, because one day when you bring your people to heaven, Father, we're going to meet. We're going to meet at that welcome table. So, Father, as we are meeting right now on this prayer line, Father, I just want to thank you for bringing us together and blessing us, and that we can come together as the love of Christ to love one another and lift one another up. So, Heavenly Father, as my brothers and sisters join tonight, we ask you, Father, first to forgive us for our sins. And then we invite the Holy Spirit here on the prayer line with us. And we also ask you, Father, to allow your word and your Holy Spirit to penetrate our heart. Help us, give us wisdom, give us understanding. And we ask him for a blessing tonight. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us tonight, Lord, that we can sing and rejoice and we can praise you with all honor and glory with the word reading, singing, and just testimonies, all these things to glorify you. Oh, Father, thank you. And now, Lord, I'm asking you to bless your word tonight as we open and read what thus saith the Lord. Now, Lord, I'm asking you tonight, bless this reading. I'm about to read from the Sanctuary Made Simple. So, Heavenly Father, and I'm asking that you give us understanding, Father, because we don't understand it all. We don't understand it. So, Lord, we need that understanding from you. And we ask that you lead and guide us. Keep us, Father, from anything that trying to get in our mind and cause us to doubt. So, Father, thank you once again. In your Son, Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen. And thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us tonight. And get in as early as possible so we can all have time to share. And I'm just going to read just a little part. So press one, and I would like to begin opening the line for my sisters and brothers. But let us just read The Sanctuary Made Simple. And I will begin right here. It says, you remember that Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. John 14:6, and if we follow him into the sanctuary where he is ministering today, we will understand his way. This is indeed good news, for Jesus Christ can solve the sin problem, making eternal life possible for every sinner who will accept Christ's sacrifice and follow his way of separating our sins from us. Praise God. Tell us, Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. That's Psalm 77:13. And I'm going to just read this right quick. As I see my sisters and brothers on press one already, and I'm going to open the line first, and then in between I would share. Amen. So now we're going to open the line for 423-635. Your line is open. Amen. You can give us your name and where you're calling from.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for opening up my line. Sister Leola, this is Sister Carla from Tennessee, and I'm just thanking the Lord for his goodness, his mercy. We have snow out here, and but the Lord is keeping us, you know. The Lord is gracious, long-suffering. He's so loving and kind to us, and as I was reading earlier regarding the snow, I was reading regarding how the Lord cleansed us. How the Lord cleansed us, and he takes care of us. And it says, and his raiment became shining exceedingly white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can whiter than them. So we know snow is very significant. It talks about it in the Bible, and it also said, the Proverbs 31 woman, it says she's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Also Isaiah 1:18, it says, come now, let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So I just thanking the Lord for using the snow to tell us how clean, you know, our garment will be, and how much he loves us. And he's just so worthy to be praised. Every time I wake up, every time I'm able to open my eyes, have a roof over my head, have food, a job, you know, I thank him. So we have to thank him in the good time and the bad times, knowing that he will provide for us. And he said he'll never leave us or forsake us. And I'll sing, glory to God be the glory. To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son, who yielded his life on atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer, the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Great things he had taught us, great things he has done, and greater rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonders, our transport, when Jesus will see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory. Great things he has done. Amen. And the only way to the Father is through the Son, Jesus. And we have to give him the glory because great and mighty things he has done, even things we don't know of, he has done, and he's working it out on our behalf, brothers and sisters. So we have to give praise and honor and glory to Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, King of Kings. Amen. Thank you again, Sister Leola. God bless.
Amen. Amen. Yes, praise the Lord. Great things he had done. And it says, this indeed good news, for Jesus Christ can solve the sin problem, making eternal life possible for every sinner who will accept his, who will accept Christ's sacrifice and follow his way of separating our sins from us. So, and it says, praise God. So, yes, I want to thank the Lord for showing us how the snow, when you said that, Sister Carla, the snow, you don't see no specks of dirt coming from up when that snow is piled up. You don't see dirt. It's pure. And I just thought about it, and I said, yes, when I saw it, it is pure and beautiful. So if he said that, gonna make us white as snow, oh, that is a beauty. I'm telling you, when I see that snow, and up east, in the east, I'm telling you, it's beautiful, but it's dangerous also. So, yes, praise the Lord. So we're going to open the line for the next sisters and brothers. So first I want to thank Sister Carla for coming on and sharing, and especially sharing those scriptures with us and how God has used it with the scriptures. So thank you, Sister Carla. And may God give you, I thank you at work already because you told me you was going earlier. Or maybe you're back home, I don't know. But praise God, he's giving you safe traveling mercy. And Sister Power and I was lifting you up in prayer at the time you was traveling. So we give God thanks for your traveling mercy. Amen. So we're going to open the next line, brothers and sisters. And while we open the next line, I just want to say, in this little scripture, it's telling us to read Hebrews 8:1-12, and I will do that after I open this line. Amen? Hold on. Give me just a second. Oh, we got 518-4744. It's so good to see, to hear from you. Give us your name and where you're calling from. Amen?
Yes, Sister Leola, thank you for opening my line. This is Brother Rick from Fort Ann, New York, and I am so excited to be on tonight. I've been traveling, and we've had a 10 days of prayer and revival at our church. I was not able to get on because we were on every night for 10 nights having our meetings, and wow, what a blessing that was, brothers and sisters. We've been studying the little booklet that's called Abiding with Jesus by Helmut Hobel. And if any of you have a chance to get this book, it is such a blessing. We've been studying this, and it's teaching us, we hear oftentimes about abiding with Jesus and Jesus abiding in us, and nobody tells you how to do that. It seems like it's kind of a far-off thing, but we learned a step and how to abide in Jesus and how to have him abide in us, and it's been a great blessing. So just grateful that the prayer line is still here, I received a great blessing from the series that we were doing, but I just wanted to say my brothers and sisters, Sister Leola and Sister Powell, Sister Carla, Brother Judy, Brother Akeem, all the folks who speak and host the line, that the prayer line has kept me in the faith, okay? Without that, some days I think that I might not have, I know that I would not have been as strong in the faith without it, maybe not at all. I don't know that for sure, but, you know, the prayer line has been such a blessing over the years, Sister. I don't know exactly when you came on the prayer line, but I know Brother Udy was on very early. I mean, he and Sister Powell and a few others started it, and Brother Udy got me to start coming on quite early, and it has just been a blessing. Each time we meet is a blessing, and it's just been an anchor to keep me coming back to Jesus, pointing each one of us to Jesus. I'm so grateful for that, Sister. I just got back today from visiting my mom and dad. My mom had her 80th birthday, and so we went to be with her for the weekend. And just grateful that my mom and dad are still alive. My mom's 80, my dad's 85, and together they do really well. And thanking the Lord for that, because they have been a blessing in my life for so long, ever since I can remember. And they are still doing okay. They don't get out much. They don't work real fast. A lot of things they can't do anymore, but they're not giving up on life or on Jesus. So just thanking the Lord for them, Sister. And that song by Sister Carla, wow, what a blessing that was. You listen to those words and you just want to get up and shout and say, you know, it's just a wonderful thing. And I'm so thankful for Jesus doing his work in my life. And I'm just praying, Sister, that each one of us will continue to invite the Holy Spirit in. Actually, I just want to say a prayer for everyone right now, because you know what? The Holy Spirit is our greatest need. He is the key to Christ abiding in us and us abiding in him. So if we just bow our heads real quick. Lord, I just want to lift up my brothers and sisters on the prayer line tonight. Sister Leola, she's hosting her husband Ray, her family, her daughter, her sons, this Lord, their children, all of her family. Lord, I just lift each one of them up to you, Lord. We heard Sister Carla earlier singing, Lord, beautiful song. Great things you have done for us, O Lord. You have done everything for us, O Lord. And Father, tonight we are just requesting your Holy Spirit, Lord. We are needing that Spirit, the Lord. In us is no good. Only your Spirit abiding in us can bring the good in. And Lord, we need that righteousness, the righteousness of Christ covering us, covering our sins, so that we can stand in the judgment, O Lord, and partake of eternity, O Lord, with you. O Father, just show us each day our faults, our shortcomings, our sins, whatever it is that is separating us from you, O Lord. Continue to bring them to us, O Lord, and Father, impress these sinful hearts, Lord, that you are the way, the only way, and without you, we are nothing, we have nothing, we will be nothing, Lord. So, Father, with you, we have everything. And, Lord, we just want to praise you for your goodness, for your love, for your care for each one of us, for safety and traveling, Lord, for our 10-day revival and prayer meeting, Lord. We just praise you for that. And many people were coming to that each night. And, Lord, we were blessed. We had 30 people many nights, Lord, and that's amazing, because oftentimes people don't want to come out, Lord. So we just thank you for the things that we have learned, Lord. May we put them into practice, oh Lord. May you guide each one of us, Lord, each one of the listeners tonight, Lord. Just want to let each one of them up to you, Father. Bless our speaker who will be speaking later on, Lord. We just lift that person up ahead of time, Lord, so that your Spirit will be working upon them. And that we may receive, so that we can give to someone else that good need, Lord, that only you can give. We thank you We love you, Lord. Please continue to guide us, Lord. And Father, just open up our eyes and our ears so that we may hear and see what it is that you want for us to do, Lord. And Lord, unshackle our feet and our hands so that we can go about doing your work, helping others, Lord, spreading this good news of your soon coming to them, Lord. Please, Lord, I thank you. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And Sister, I'm just grateful that you have were hosting tonight. It's always good to hear Sister Leola and all the brothers and sisters, but Sister Leola, she has a special place in my heart. She's always so upbeat and happy, and every time I hear her, I just have to smile. So, Sister, thank you. And praise the Lord for all of his goodness to each one of us.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Rick. You know, we miss you. We miss you these last couple of weeks. But, you know, as always, the prayer has been going up for you, Brother Rick, your family, everyone. We have been praying for you. So we just thank you for
coming on and
sharing tonight. The joy of your mother. You know, when you have a mother and father living at that age, the joy to see them talk and just talk with you and just to see them every day, it's just a blessing. So many people don't understand. Some that done lost their parents. Now they know what it is not to have them. And some people take some for granted. But I tell you what, when some people have their parents, I'm telling you, they are the apple of their eye. And I know for Sister Powell, her daughters, I'm telling you, her daughters are, and especially Mama, Mama, Mama. It's all about Mama. Even all them little, all the children she got from Jamaica to New York, everybody, Mama. So, you know, when they have Mama, I'm telling you, it's just a joy. Brother Rick, I know how you feel when you went to see your mother, because I used to go and I would visit my mother and I would sit there and talk with her and, you know, just laugh and just share with her. So it was just a blessing. So now my mother is not living, but I communicate with Sister Power a lot and I love my elders, you know, so that is a blessing. So, and we're going to lift your mother up in prayer tonight again. So stand by, Brother Akeem should be on tonight. And as we wait, as we give God praise, amen. So I'm going to go to the next line and I'm going to open the next line. Amen. And brothers and sisters, we were just reading a little bit on the sanctuary made simple, but I'm not going to read anymore until I see no one has pressed one, but we got a couple of people. So let us open the line. But I want to give Brother Rick, I'm talking so much I forget. I need to give Brother Rick thanks for coming on again. Amen. So next line we open is 518-951. Your line is open. Amen.
Okay. Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my dear beloved brothers and sisters in Advent Light. This is Sister Powell. You know, I just give God thanks and praise to be here. When I went on the line this evening, I heard Sister Leola was reading about the sanctuary, you know. And I give God the praise, you know, because when we can really know where our Jesus Christ is at this time and what he is doing in the most holy sanctuary, it brings joy in my heart to know that, you know what, all we have to do is to keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus, where he is, not on the cross or in the tomb, but for us to look straight in heaven, the most holy sanctuary, where he is and the work that he have been performing in the sanctuary message. Mm-hmm. And this is the message that we all need. And if we keep our eyes, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, on this line, to look upon where Jesus is and to know the righteousness of Jesus and to know the work that he have been doing up there for us, so that we can enter into that rest. It's a blessing. I just want to thank God, you know, for this line so that we can learn more and more about Jesus and to become more like Jesus. That's a joy. They bring joy in my heart. And also to listen to Sister Carla a while ago with the snow, brothers and sisters, the Lord said, come, let us reason together. Although our sin is like scarlet, it can be made white as snow. We know what snow is to us, and the snow that God has placed down here that we can look upon it. He wants us to be white like so. He wants to wash us as that snow. And look how much he cares for us, my dear brothers and sisters, that he said, I wish that your flight will not be on the Sabbath day or even the winter. He cares so much that for the Sabbath, because it's holy, and even for the winter, that, you know, it would have been nice for it to happen when we are in that snow, because even though the snow is white, you know, it can be very, very dangerous. And you know what? When I look upon the different areas, and when I saw the snow, and that snow caused freezing and all these things is happening, it is so dangerous. Although it is good, it is dangerous. So I pray this morning when I listened and heard that my daughter was traveling to work and it was snowing, and we prayed for protection, and I thank God that God had protected her, give her traveling mercies, and not only she, all the others that was on the road, you know, and God take her safely and brought her back home safely. That's a blessing. But brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, God is good. He is worthy to be praised. We go through a snow, not a snowstorm, a freezing storm, I have to say, the Lord. Weekend, it was so bad, my dear brothers and sisters. And when I look and I saw my age, I know that God was there to protect me. So, Brother Rick, I give God praise when I heard your voice this evening, because I was saying I had intention to call you today. Something happened, I don't know, and I didn't get to call because I missed you on the line, and we pray for you. And when you came on, you was giving that praise report, and you went to Mommy, and Mommy is living for, you know, those long years. You know, God have blessed her with long life. And we are so grateful to hear. And Brother Rick, we want to let you know on Advent Light, we did miss you, but we pray for you and we love you and your family. And thank God that God have been using you in this ministry to do a lot. Most people may not know a lot of work, labor, your own labor, your dedication, your funds, you know, on this Advent Light. So we just want to make you know that we appreciate everything, and oh, God will bless, pour out his blessing upon yourself and your children and your grandchildren and your church family. You opened your home. You took us in. You treat us with love, you and your wife and family. And we just want to let you know we love you. God is so good. And I will just sing this little song, brothers and sisters. You know, God said we must give our flowers while we are here, that you can smell it, Brother Rick. We here on Advent Light just want to let you know we appreciate the love that you have shown us and all the blessings that you have, each and every one of us here on this land. Thanks. And sing the song. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Slowly leaning, safe and secure from all our arms. Leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have a blessed hope with my Savior near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, safe and secure from all our arms. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Yes, my dear brothers and sisters, all on this line, let us lean upon the everlasting arms of Jesus, where he is now in the most holy sanctuary, and let us be faithful, because if we be faithful, my dear brothers and sisters on this line, we all will enter into that eternal rest with him. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line. Amen.
Thank you, Mother. I want to thank you, Sister Powell, for prayer. And Sister Powell, when I think of that song, Leaning on the Everlasting Arm, you know what? That arm, you'll never fall. So when you lean on that arm is everlasting. You know, we may fall, but we get up and we go right back to him, because I want to praise him. I want to thank him for what he's doing for all of us. Oh, what a blessing. Thank you, Father, for blessing us to be on the prayer line, Father, for 9 years, I believe it is. Oh, praise God from all blessings flows. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Sister Powell. Thank you for keeping the prayer line up. Amen. And brothers and sisters, I'm just praising God, because you know what? He always have one that's in the ram of the bush, and that one that can hold up and stay strong for everybody. So I just want to thank Sister Powell for her every effort, because you know what? She's trusting in the Almighty God. And you know what? That is so beautiful. So we give God the praise for our mother on this prayer line. So thank you once again, Sister Powell, and may God continue to bless you. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to go to the next caller. And brothers and sisters, I thank you for being patient. We're going to open the next line. I believe it's 985. Yes, open your line, 232. Your line is open, and you can give us your name and where you're calling from.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Brenda, Sister Brenda calling for Baker, Louisiana, but I live in Houma, Louisiana. And I just thank God for all the blessings and the praises we had tonight. The singing, our dear mother, who we blessed to have. And thank you, Sister Leola and Brother Rick and all the rest of the family members of that been like, for lifting up God's word. I just like to read a prayer devotion Dear God, I thank you that the things that come from you are good and true. Dear God, things that come from you are good and true. May you help me discern what is from you and what is not. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We thank you.
Amen.
Oh, what a great God we serve. Thank you, Lord. We thank him. All we can say is thank you because it's been a great day. Just praising the Lord. It's my third round. And I thank him. It's been a good blessing. It's been going up. And I thank God. I just want an extra prayer because in this hotel we have a lady in her 30s. She's drifting with both kids from ages 5 on to 12. And no job, no money. And she's drifting. She's been in the cold, but it has, thank God, people been passing by the hotel, paying her way back in. And it's just been sad. I've been up lifting up the word of the Lord and telling her that she has to believe and stick with the Lord because I've been lifting her up, and I know he's going to make a way because he won't leave or forsake her. And I said, that's all you got to call on today. Keep calling him up, and don't worry about nobody else, and don't look back. Just call him up, and he's going to fix it for you. And they all been running around here barefooted. I said, it's not good. It's too cold here. It feel like it's 20 in here. The way the wind blowing, and it's ice cold. And this hotel don't have no heat on. So I told her, I said, it's not good. I said, but you're gonna get right. Don't worry. I said, just hang on my prayer line and me and our family. We're gonna lift you up, and God gonna make a way. You just finish calling in His name and lifting Him up. And I said, that's my suggestion. You ask me what I suggest. I said, and you must trust God. And she asked me, why do good people have it so bad? And I said, it's a test. So you can't let it, you can't fall. It's a test. When you're good, it's a test. And she said, why bad people get everything? I said, oh, that's on the other side of the world. You don't even want to dwell. So I thank God for me, talking to her. I was out there for hours, but I got through, and she felt so good. She finally went upstairs to her kids and made me relax. So I thank God I was able to get through her because she just looked like she was ready to go do something herself. And I just couldn't see her like that because I know I have kids. And I don't know who might have to talk to them. So I just thank God I saved her soul. And she got right, and I told her where to get a job. Right now, she could get a job at Michigan Straight on a house online, and she can have her kid, the last kid home, and put the rest in school. She was happy about that. So she was well content what I told her. So she started saying, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. So thank God. So we just lift her up. Her name is, God knows her. Trust me, God knows everything about her. And them poor kids. So I try to pray for her and the poor kids. And just pray for the family and that Ben Light ministry and the family and all that Ben Light ministry host and all the workers, the prayer line business, what they have everywhere, their ministries and their projects, whatever they have going on, and our family and friends on the prayer line and all, pray for them. Pray for the sick, the homeless, and all the other people, because right now the homeless, we pray that they find shelter right now. And I know my nephew, one, he's out there, because it's really 36 tonight where we live in. When Louisiana is 36. So we just pray they have somewhere to stay tonight. And I'm in this hotel and it's freezing. I don't know what's wrong with the heater. But I thank God. And we just keep each other in prayer and pray one for another. God bless each other. Amen. Hold on. Amen.
Just say hello to everyone. It's Brother John in Baton Rouge, but from Houma, Louisiana. And just for a few things, just want to praise God, thank God for the prayer line family and my friends and my family and my marathon family from my wife. Just want to say that I just want to praise God and give him the praise, and just want to say that I felt at one time in my life that I guess you could put in the phrase of having a broken spirit. It's like I was having a broken spirit for so many years, and I just thank God for healing my spirit and healing me and giving me better thoughts and opening my eyes up to turn toward God. And I don't feel like I have a broken spirit anymore. I feel like my eyes was closed, walking with blindfolds on, like the blindfolds them come off. Thank God. Thank God for that. Like, I can see more clearly now. So just want to share that. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Brother John, you're going to make Sister Power shout. Praise God. Sister Power, love to hear that. So I just praise the Lord for Brother John. He's such, he has become so humble and love the Lord. I tell you, God is so good. And seeing that that the prayer line, you see, this line has been here to been open only for God to use everyone here. And as we've been opening this line every week, you know, we may not have the 6 days anymore, but we have 3 days. And you can tell people about this line. And by God's grace, there's some people when they are sincere in the heart and they need to hear God's word, and they come and they can hear and they'll be willing and obedient to the Lord. He can help them, because Brother John had that desire, and you hear now what he's speaking. So we thank the Lord for that. Thank the Lord for Sister Brenda and her testimony. Sister Brenda, is this lady there at the hotel with you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, well, we're going to have to see how, because if these children don't have no shoes, my goodness, shoes is only like $5. You can get shoes pretty cheap at the $5 to $10. So we're going to have to talk, because it's, you know, for not to have no shoes on their feet, that's not good. So, okay then, well, we can talk about that later. So we want to thank you, Sister Brenda and Brother John, for coming on and sharing, and especially giving that testimony about this lady. And that is the work of the Lord he want us to do, you know, to see to other needs. Because, you know, I heard this old saying, and this old saying come from people. It's not in the Bible, but it's the Bible says something like it, because Christ said, sometimes people say, you didn't come to me, Lord. He said, yeah. He said, I came to you, but it was that person that didn't have no shoes, or that person that was hungry. Who do you think? I send these people. Or he said, what you have done to the least one of them, you have also done it unto me. So we have to be careful that we not entertaining angels unaware. So boy, that's up when we can say, like, no, we don't want to help you, or we don't want to do nothing for you, because you can be telling that to one that Christ has sent to you. So I just praise God for that. Thank you, Sister Brenda and Brother John. We got another caller. You can press
number one, and we can open your line, and you're going to have the hand waving at me, and I can open your line. Amen? I'm hoping you can hear me. You can press one, and the hand going to wave at me. I'm waiting on someone to press one. I don't think they hear me yet. You can press one. Okay, well, I'm waiting on them to press one. They are coming. I'm thinking that person coming to give a testimony of what God has done for them. And as we hear in these testimonies, brothers and sisters, it's real, because as we know that we see, like, how many millions of people is gone today, how many family members. And I know I talk to my brother all the time, and I would not dare thought that he would have been gone today. So the blessing is today is that we are here and we are able to communicate with one another. So it's such a blessing for me to be here, to be on this prayer line. So I'm grateful to what the Lord has done for me. And I can be able to host this prayer line. So I'm thanking the Lord for that. So sisters and brothers, if you desire to share, you press one, and I'm going to get a little hand wave at me to let me know you want to share. Amen. Okay, well, I'm going to read something until my sisters and brothers. Okay, amen. Let me open the line. It's 225-281. I'm going to open this line. You can give us your name and where you're calling from.
Clifton, Tennessee. This is Sister Nelda. I haven't been on here in a long time, but I just wanted to give a testimony of something I went through in the last week. We had some snow, and we were supposed to get like 4 inches of snow, but we only got maybe 1.5 to 2 inches. But what happened is it rained a lot before the snow came. And what I didn't know when I left out was, since I didn't see a lot of snow, I thought it was safe to get on the road. But what I didn't know was that because it had rained and the temperature had dropped, it had ice underneath the snow. So I started up the hill from where I live to go into town to pick up a couple of things for the house. And I got almost to the top of the hill, and my car wouldn't climb the hill. It started spinning. And that's when I realized it was ice under the snow. So I tried to back up a little bit, and I was going to try to go back down the hill. And then my back wheel started spinning, and my car started kind of sliding, you know, on the road. So I was afraid I might slide off the road. And there's, like, these big, tall trees all around. So, you know, it could be very deadly. So I just started to pray. And I put my foot on the brake, and I put the emergency brake on, and I said, oh, Lord, you know, help me. I can't get up the hill. I can't get back down the hill. And then because of where I was at when the car started to spin where it wouldn't go up the hill, it was like at a point where the people coming down the hill, they wouldn't have been able to see me until they was right on me. So I was saying, Lord, you know, help me out of this situation. I don't know what I could do. So if somebody comes down the hill, they're not going to see me until they're right there, and they can probably hit me head on. So I just started, you know, praying, saying, Lord, please don't let nobody come down this hill until I can figure out how to get out this car. And within a couple seconds, it seemed like there was a car coming. And the car was coming straight for me. And I said, oh, Lord, please don't let her hit me head on. Lord, please don't let her hit me. And right at just looked like a split second before she ran into my car. It looked like she was going to run into my car anyway. It may have not have been that bad, but it seemed that way to me. She turned the car a little bit to the right, and she went around me. And this is the type of hill that when you're coming down it, because of the elevation, your car is going to travel 40 to 50 miles per hour without you even touching the accelerator. So imagine coming that fast without touching the accelerator, and then you're riding on top of ice. So it was only by the grace of God that she missed me. So then I said, Lord, I got to get out this car because it would be bad, you know, if somebody gets hurt because my car is here and they won't see me until the last minute. I'm just below the top of the hill. But it would be worse if it hits the, somebody hits this car and I'm in it. So I got to get out the car. And I was so scared. I was, like, trembling. And then I remember God said, you know, I don't give you a spirit of fear, so I can't be afraid of this. I just got to get out of the car and get myself to safety and then figure out how to get the car out of the way. So I got out of the car, walked across the road. I didn't have no signal at that point. I couldn't call nobody. And my son Lance, he does homeschool, so he was online doing virtual school, and he kept saying, Mom, you know, it's bad out there. I should go with you. I should go with you. And I said, well, no, I don't want to take you out of your class. I got to run into town, be back in like 35 minutes, 40 minutes tops, and that way you don't have to stop your class. And he said, but what if something happens? What if something happens? I should go with you. And I said, no, you just stay here. And it's a good thing that I left him there. Mm-hmm. Because he had to go get help for me. I was stuck on the hill. I used my car phone, and I called the hold on, but the tow trucks, they were everywhere. They were already running to rescue people all over, and they was telling me they didn't know when they could get to me. My cell phone had no reception right there, but I did know at the top of the hill that if I could just walk a little further, I could pick up a signal on my phone. So I got out of the road, and I seen some grass, like, off the side of the road. So I walked on the grass so I wouldn't slip down toward going up the hill. And I heard my Bluetooth click, and I knew at that point that I had picked up a signal. So as soon as the signal came in, I did call Lance before. I called my son on my car phone, but he didn't pick up because he was in class, and he had his earphones on, headphones on. So by the time he realized that I was calling, it was going through the voicemail, and he could hear it because he's sitting right in the room where the voicemail picks up at. But by the time he realized, it was too late for me to know that he was getting a message. So he heard it. He heard the distress in my voice that I was stuck on the mountain, and it was ice, and I couldn't go up, and I couldn't go down. So by the time I walked up this hill where I picked up the signal, he was calling the phone from the next door neighbor's house. So he heard me, but I didn't know he heard me. So I was just distraught. So when he started to say, Mom, where are you? Where are you? I got your message. I got your message. And I knew that he was at the next door neighbor's house from the caller's ID. But the signal wasn't coming in that clear. But he said, where are you? Where are you? And I said, well, I'm past Miss Connie's house. And so he knew, you know, about where to go. So he had went to the next door neighbor's house. He didn't have on no socks. He just ran out there with those little Crocs, and he didn't even put on a coat. He was just so scared that something bad was happening to me. So he went to the neighbors just like that. And thank God that he was home, because normally he would be at work at that time. It was about 11:30 in the day. And at that time of day, he would be at work. But because of the ice and the snowstorm that they were expecting, he decided not to go to work that day. So they – in a few minutes, you know, I just didn't know what to do. I was afraid for somebody that might get hurt. It wasn't even about my car being destroyed. I was afraid that if they hit me, they could get hurt or killed if they slide off this road, because it was going up a mountain. And so within a few minutes, I decided to walk back toward the house. And I only had on a sweater, because I was only planning on going to the store and coming back, and I wasn't going to be getting out the car just, you know, briefly and right back in. So I wasn't even dressed properly. But I started walking down the hill toward the house. I said, well, I got to walk home. That's all I can do, because I'll probably freeze to death if I stay out here with the sweater on. So I started walking down the hill toward the house, and then when I got a little bit down the hill, I saw my neighbor's truck coming. Him and Lance was coming to rescue me, my son. So when he got there, I was so nervous, and I said, thank God. I said, thank God, I don't know what to do with this car. It won't go all the way up the hill. It's ice under my wheels. Then I can't back it down. He said, well, you should be able to back it down, because the ice is, you know, it's coming downhill, so you should be able to do it. I said, maybe you can, but I can't. I'm too nervous. I had just witnessed me and my son Sunday, which was a few days earlier. We were expecting snow. And before the snow came, we went to Walmart, and we were going to come back home so that way, well before the snow started, we wouldn't be out, you know, in the weather. And right after we passed this intersection that's been a deadly intersection in Savannah, Tennessee, They had just put a stoplight there to prevent people from getting killed. And we had just come through there that Sunday morning, and then we went to the Walmart, and then we heard the sirens, and we didn't really know what it was. We just assumed maybe somebody had a wreck or some type of emergency. When we came out, we saw that all these people, cars everywhere, police everywhere. It was a car, a Chrysler 300 with a older, like I think it was supposed to be a 2003 Chevy Silverado pickup truck. It had landed on top of the Chrysler 300. And I was trying to keep my eyes on the road, but Lance could see. And he said, "Mom, it's a lady that died." And I said, "What do you mean a lady that died?" He said, "Well, they have her covered up." I said, "Well, that doesn't mean she died." He said, "Mama, they covered her head up, her whole body." And I said, "Well, how do you know it's a lady?" He said, "Well, you can tell the difference from a woman's body." So that made me nervous, and that was before the snow came. So we made it home without anything happening to us, later finding out that it was an older couple that was a husband and wife in the early 70s, and they had a passenger in their car that was in, he was 47, a 47-year-old male. They were on their way to church, and they got killed. The woman died at the scene. She was driving. And then I later found out that not one person died, but two people died. Her and one of the men died. And the next day or later that day, the other passenger died. So all three of these people died in accident. So when I got on that mountain and my car stalled, all I could think about was those people. And, like, I'm in a bad situation myself right now. But I just thank God that they came and they got me. And my neighbor was able to back my car down the hill. I kept riding the brake because I was just so scared I was going to slide off. And so he was able to deal with it in a more calmer manner, and he was able to get me to safety and my car to safety. So I just thank God for sparing my life and not letting anything happen to me.
Amen, amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Sister Nelda, as you were telling that story, oh, by the God's grace, you know, I just was thinking how the Lord prevented all that. And from the time you told Lance to stay at home, you didn't want him to come. The Holy Spirit was working with you. But thank God everything worked out. And thank you for coming on to share, because we got to be careful with this weather because it's very dangerous. So thank you once again, Nelda, and I have one or two more that want to join in and let us open their line, because we're going to have prayers, sisters and brothers. It's 50 right now. So let us open the next, because we have two more. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for being patient. Let us open the line for 631-552. Your line is open. Now, we're going to have to be a little brief because Brother Akeem want to come on at 7:20, but you still got a little time. Amen, because we want to pray. Amen. Go ahead, Brother O'Neill, I believe.
Yes, Sister Leola, good night. I am two moms on the line. Sister Leola, Sister Powell, good night. It's really a blessing to be on the line. Thank God for
you.
Amen.
Great.
Sorry for my absence. It was 2 weeks I'm absent off the line, but I've been doing some work for the Lord, you know. And he just came back last Sunday from Phoenix, Arizona, where we went to the Liberty and Health Alliance in Phoenix, Arizona. It was truly a tremendous blessing. We were there giving out books, feeding the homeless on the street, and inviting people to the event. And many of the persons that were at the event, they wanted to give their life to Jesus, because when they hear all these things that was presented, a lot of people there were sending an email wanting to give their life to God. So we know that the work is going, and we have an upcoming evangelistic outreach again in Washington, D.C. coming this Sunday. They have a Liberty March going on, so we're going to go there not to be in the Liberty March, but to go and give out the great controversy.
Amen, amen.
Councils tell us that this book, The Great Controversy, is the book for this time that we are living in. because it's a prophetic book. So the most vivid history book out there that you can have. And we have been giving out it to the people. And it was fascinating that while at the meeting, we met one of the doctors that have been standing up for liberty of conscience. And we actually interviewed him because some of our friends have camera systems in one of the groups that I'm in. So they're interviewing. And one of the profound things that at that event, this man is a Baptist. Dr. McCullough is a Baptist. And he has read the great controversies. And especially the last eight chapters, you have read it. And
your last eight chapter.
You have read it, and he said, definitely you see what is going on in the last days. It's a spiritual thing that is going on. And he also, after reading this book, he have introduced it to 20 other persons in a meeting that he was. And the other person read the book. So these men that God is calling out from these first-day churches to do a work in these last days, you have to pray for these men because they're standing up for what they believe. And we know that's the Spirit of God is working. So we ask for prayer as we will be going out next week to evangelize for Christ. We ask for your prayers.
Amen, 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 amen.
Oh, thank you, Brother O'Neill. Brother O'Neill, I'm praying that one day that you can talk with Brother Chris and we can do something like that here in Louisiana because it is so needed, my brother. I'm telling you, so many people here. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're going to do that because we're going to meet up with him this weekend. So I'll talk to him about that and let you talk to him as well. And what we do as well in these things, so you told us that you have a need, that many people need care packages and all those stuff because we are planning to carry care packages to D.C. D.C. is the capital city. And when you check it out, there are a lot of homeless people there. There are a lot of people hungry there, and there are a lot of wealth there, but there are a lot of people that are hungry. So we are planning to carry a care package to the people out there, like food and some stuff that they could use, toiletries and all these stuff, you know. So we ask you to pray for this ministry. There's our work. Now, right now, as I said, we see what is going on in this world, and I was impressed this morning to pray for people because there are a lot of people losing their job. There are a lot of family are not talking to each other based on this unvaccinated issue. It's a spiritual warfare right now going on. Do you understand? And we have to see this thing as the great controversy playing out right in front of our very eyes. Jesus is about to come. And we have to just keep praying for people.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, thank you, Brother O'Neill, and thank you for sharing that with us. And you know, all that help us, as Brother O'Neill bring us this news, it helped us to know that we got to be about our Father's business also. So, but we're going to open this next line, brothers and sisters, and then we're going to go into prayer because Brother Akeem going to be here about 8:20. Amen. So let us open the next line. And be able to allow him to share. We open the line for 857-505. Your line is open.
Hello, Sister Miola. Okay, Sister Miola, I have a song after this. Hello, brothers and sisters. My name is Brother Eli. I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts. Beloved brothers and sisters, I like to thank God because God is good. He's awesome. He is truly worthy to be praised, Sister Viola and Sister Power. I like to thank God for his love, for his mercy, because he is good. He's awesome, God. He's the mighty God. He's the King King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. I have a prayer request, Sister Mule and Sister Powell. My prayer request is to pray for my mother. Lift my mother in prayer because my mother needs a lot of prayer. Don't forget to pray for Brother Jahari, Sister Powell. Pray for Brother Jahari. Pray for Brother Javaz, Brother Jamal. And Sister Miola, please lift up Sister Shamika because she already catched the COVID-19 virus. But Sister Miola, can you talk about garlic too? Talk about garlic when I'm finished singing. Sister Shamika is on this prayer line, but I don't know, can Sister Power or Sister Miola talk about the garlic, how to get rid of the COVID-19. I want to sing our song, Sister Miola, before pray. Amen. The blood that Jesus shed for me, way over Calvary. The blood that gave me strength, it's Sister Miola, sing Sister Power today, it will never lose its power. Oh, we shall to the holiest mountain of love, to the holiest Calvary. Oh, the blood that gave me strength today, it will never lose its power. Sister Miola, can you talk about the garlic to
Amen. Brother Eli, we wanna thank you for coming on and sharing. We got to allow our brother time to be able to bring his message, and he will bring us the message that the Lord would want us to have. You know, Jesus wants us to be filled with his word. And you know that, Brother Eli, is that right? He wants us to be filled. He wants us to be able to have his word in us. So we're going to we have to have prayer. But we're going to open the line for one more caller, and we're just going to ask if you would like to just hold on. We're going to open the line for, okay, brother, okay, sisters and brother Akeem is on already. So let us go into a word of prayer. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, Father, we come before you to lift up our brothers and sisters. Lord, as a sister Carla has asked for prayer for family and friends, her clients, and all that she worked with, Father, we ask him that you bless those that she worked with. Strengthen them, Lord. Open their ears that they may hear the teaching, especially the health message that, you know, you allowing her to work with them and to help heal them. So, Father, help them to understand that you have come to them this day, and this day that that the Lord has said, hear his voice. So, Father, I'm asking you to bless them and help them. And now, Father, we also pray for Brother Rick, Father, asking you, Father, prayers for his mother and his father. Lord, Father, you have blessed them above their years. Now, Lord, we ask that you continue to bless them, Lord, and allow the grandchildren to know that their grandparents were faithful to God and that God has blessed them. And now he allowed his grandchildren, the sons and daughters, to know that this you too can live this obedience from the Lord. So, Father, I'm asking that you continue to be with the family members, the grandchildren, and let the grandchildren see their grandparents, how they love one another and how they train them up and raise them. So, Father, and Lord, Father, this is for all grandmothers. We wish for our grandchildren that we have to be that example for our grandchildren, Father, and let them see love and the love of Christ in us. And, Father, and this is the only thing can change the children, is that they see this love that Christ has given us for an example. So, Father, we thank you so much for the blessing. Now, Lord, we also lift up Sister Powell, Lord, Father, asking that you continually to bless her ministry. Father, she longed to go there and see her babies in Jamaica, to go and present those bookcases and those backpacks and the food, and the children just want to see Grandma. So, Father, I'm praying, Father, that you can open up the doors, Lord, because you already said that door's open that no man could open, and the door closed, no man can close. So, Heavenly Father, I'm asking you, Father, to open up doors, Lord, because the world want to seem that thing is shut or everything is what they go by. But no, the Lord has the last word. So, Heavenly Father, I'm asking that you open doors. And not only that, pour that blessing out that you have promised, Father, that these children in Jamaica could know that there is a God in heaven and that save his people. So, Father, please have mercy upon the children, and not only Jamaica, Lord, all over the world. Father, as Brenda have mentioned, Father, the young woman that's in the hotel, she said these children are walking barefoot, and, Lord, they have no shoes. Lord, even the floor is too cold to walk on right now. So, Heavenly Father, I'm asking that you would provide, Father, and we asking that you would let that person know that it's not no man that provided, but it was Jesus that provided for those children. Because if it was for me, Lord, if it was anybody, and if we could do anything, Lord, but it's your will, it is you that encourage us to do your will. And you said to give and to do for the poor. So, and what we should do according to your will for those that's in need. And Heavenly Father, I lift Sister Brenda and Brother John up to you tonight, Father, that they may continually in your will, and that they may see that the Lord is leading and guiding in their way. And it's no one else, but it's his protection and his provision what he makes for us. So thank you, Father. And Lord, Father, we lift up Brother O'Neill to you, Lord. And Lord, Father, the many blessings that you have given to this young man, Lord, Father, our son, Lord, he has that love, Father, to go out and do your will, to go out and get these tracts and talk to people about healing and about the word of God. Father, I'm praying, Father, that this could be manifested right here in Louisiana, Lord. Lord, we need that work right here before I leave this place, Lord, Father, to go out in Louisiana. But I need the power of the Holy Spirit to work in it and to manifest God's word here. Because, Lord, the people are in other things, involved in other things and parties and all these things. But, Lord, you need to bring a people here to help and to serve and to do your will, Father. So we just ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask, Father, that to bless Baton Rouge. With Father, we also lift up, Father, Brother Eli and his family, asking that you continue to bless them and blessing all the requests that he has made, Lord. Lord, Father, Brother Eli asked a request for his mother and all the others, Lord. And, Father, bless him. Let him know, Father, that you got him, that you take care of him. And, Lord, you will do for those that he have requested, and Brother Jahari and all the others. So, Lord, I'm asking that you take care of it, Father, and then let Brother Eli see what you have done. And he can give you praise. He can shout hallelujah, because glory is your name. Praise and honor is your name. So, Father, we also lift up, Father, Brother Udy to you, Father, Brother Bernard, Father, his wife, their wives,
and we lift up, Father, don't let me forget no names, Lord. Father, I can't remember my husband and my family, Father. Sister Nelda, Lord, Father. And, Father, I'm praying for my sister down there in Tennessee that you continue to be with her, Father, and her family, her child, as they are on the highway, her car. And, Lord, I'm asking you to bless her with another car. Father, you know that she has the heart and the heart that she done did for so many. Now, Lord, I'm asking that you pour out that same blessing that she has blessed others. And we thank you. Now, Lord, we also pray for the prayer line. We pray for this prayer line, Lord, because you have blessed this prayer line 9 years. And, Lord, Father, it will be 9 more years. So as you bless and work it out, Father, we ask that you bless Brother Akeem tonight, Lord, and that Akeem can preach this message and that it fall upon the ears of the hearers of God and that we're going to absorb this and then be able to walk this. Lord, we can't do nothing without you. So, Lord, we ask for the blessing of your holy word to be in our heart and our mind and that your word may help us and strengthen us and for us to be obedient. Oh, Father, we thank you. We praise you tonight. And, Lord, and as we begin to listen at this word, Lord, if we need to take notes to ask questions, Lord, let no man be afraid to ask a question because the question could help them in their life to come. We thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Sister Powell, you can offer us a short little prayer also for Brother Akeem. Not Akeem, Akeem.
Okay. All right. Let me continue. Heavenly Father, we linger a little. You're hearing me, Sister Leola?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. All right.
And,
yes, Brother,
and Sister, and I forgot. Sister Powell, I left Sister, my friend, my love. I tell her I love her every day, and I forgot to mention the name. Sister Tamiko, please lift up in prayer.
Yeah. Heavenly Father, we linger a little longer at your feet to give you thanks and praise for the blessings of the night. We thank you for the wonderful, wonderful praise report, dear Father, praise report, dear Lord, of our dear beloved brother Joaquin is in the valley. Dear Father is on the hill and the mountain, dear Lord, distributing those books, Lord, and tracts, and, Lord, sharing your love to others, dear Father, out there in the community. We ask you to continue to pour your blessings upon them. Lord, we also lift up our dear beloved Pastor Hudson, Roy, for the work that he has been doing, Lord, in the community. And as they are going and preparing themselves to do this distribution next Sunday, dear Lord, we ask you, even before they go cut and clear the difficulties out there and allow their pathway to be straightened, Lord, so that power will work, dear Father, and those books, the great controversy, Step to Christ and Desire of Ages, and the books that they will be sharing, dear Lord, will be received by those individuals so that they can read it and know that the time that we are living in, and they can see the print, Lord, on those books to know that we are drawing nearer and nearer than we think. So, Lord, we want to thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you, Lord, for the praise report of our dear brother, Sister Nelda, how you have protected her and keep her, Lord. And now, dear Lord, we come again to you, Sister Tamika. Pour out your blessing for her and also her family member. And also, Shemiko, Lord, Brother Eli, we ask you, Lord, for the garlic and the lemon, dear Father, and the ginger, that she can boil some tea with that, dear Father, and she can drink it, Lord. You are so good. We ask you for your healing process. And now, dear Lord, we present our dear beloved brother Akeem to you, who will be presenting the message tonight, dear Lord. We ask you to allow that message that it will come straight from the throne room, and we all will be filled with your sweet spirit so that the word that we heard, Lord, we place within our mind, and that Holy Spirit will guide and lead us that we can also hear. Bless us, Lord. Thank you for Sister Leola. Continue to keep her, Lord, we pray. And each and every one who joined us tonight, we ask you to allow us to get ready, prepare ourselves with our notepad and also our Bible so that we can take notes. Thank you for hearing and answering our prayer in Jesus' loving name with thanksgiving. Amen and amen.
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 Amen. Now, brothers and sisters, I will present to you Brother King James. He will bring our message tonight. Amen. 301, your line is open. Brother King.
All right. All right. Praise the Lord. Can you all hear me?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. All right. Well, praise the Lord. We can be back on once again. And as we go into the message for today, I pray that this message will make sense to each and every one of us. And as we've been covering, powerful thing that we saw last week and we've been seeing in the previous weeks is that I want us to notice something. So let's pray and we'll go into it today. Father in heaven, illuminate our minds and draw us ever closer to you. Fill us with your spirit. Guide us, O Lord, that we may walk in your ways. We can do nothing apart from you. Connected to you, we know that you will guide us in the right way, and by your power, all things are possible. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So as we go into this topic, we saw over the past probably 10 weeks or so the aspect of the work that will be done at the end by the enemy of souls working through the papal system, apostate Protestantism, which is the actual apostate Protestantism here in the United States, and then that apostate Protestantism giving power back to the papal system. That's when Bible prophecy really highlights the actions of the papal system. It is when finally it gets back the power, and even more than the power that it had during the Dark Ages, as a result of the union of apostate Protestantism with the papal system. And so as that happens, they will then go forth to unite with the rest of the civil leaders of the world, the papacy being at the head. And in that union, not only will the kings or the civil rulers of the world, but also the rich men of the world will unite in that confederacy. So as that confederacy takes place, it will result in an all-out persecution against the people of God. They will be blamed for the catastrophes, the chaos, the lack of morality or the immorality in the world. All of these things, the natural disasters, will be blamed upon the saints. And we saw that in Matthew chapter 24. You can actually look at it here. Matthew chapter 24. And we're going to look from verses 6 onward. Matthew chapter 24, verse 6 onward. It says there, actually in verse 4, Jesus speaking, he answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows, meaning all these will rise to a frequency that is unbearable, right? Because the actual translation of that text is all these are the beginning of birth pangs. That's the literal original Greek translation. All these are the beginning of birth pangs. So this means the end of time will be compared to that of a woman in travail. Not that wars and rumors of wars and natural disasters and pestilences will begin at the end of time, but that just like a woman in the first trimester, the pain is there, and while it may be painful, it is a lot easier to go through that pain than the pain of the second and third trimester. By the time you get to the third trimester and the event of the child being born, the pain becomes unbearable. And so it is, Jesus says, as the end of the world approaches, what you will see is that the sign that the end is approaching is not the beginning of disasters, but the intensity of the frequency of those disasters, they will be as never before. Statistically, that has been proven when it comes to natural disasters, when it comes to political tensions that we are seeing in the world today. It has been proven to be very much more intense than in decades before. And so Jesus says, what will ultimately happen as a result of this? Who will be blamed? Verse 9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now notice this. While all of these are signs of the end, even in the context of the persecution itself, notice the sign that actually brings about the end. So there are signs of the end, and then there is a sign that brings the end. That's very crucial for us because many people are mixing those up today. They see things going on in Rome. They see things going on in certain parts of the world, and they are looking at the signs of the end indeed, but they are thinking that these signs are going to bring about the end. This is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible only teaches that there is one sign that will bring about the end. There are signs of the end, but there is only one sign that will bring about the end. So in other words, there are signs that let us know that we are living at the end of time, and then there is a sign that brings about the end of all things. What is that sign? Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, even in the midst of chaos and crisis. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So do you see it? Jesus says all of the things that I told you before are signs of the end. The world, in seeking to make sense out of those signs, will turn to you to persecute you. But this is not the end. These are signs of the end. But there is one sign that when you do it, that when you become that sign, in other words, the end of the world will come. How do we know that? And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness. Who's the witness? You and I. More specifically, Christ in you and I, revealing himself to the world through us and our different stories, revealing himself through our lives. Notice, the world doesn't end by a proclamation of this gospel of the kingdom. It ends as a result of a demonstration, a witness. That's something that can be seen, a witness of this gospel of the kingdom. Friends, it is true. We must use the aspects of media and things of that matter to proclaim the message and get the message out. As we go to church, maybe each Sabbath, or whether we are on Zoom, whatever outlet we use, yes, it is vital that we proclaim this message. But friends, it is actually the living out of the message that will end the world. That's what we're seeing in the text. And so notice, what does that then mean? The opposite is also true. If this witness is not given, the world will not end. And there are cycles within our history that shows us that very plainly. It is a very sad thing when we do not know our history. Because when we don't know our history, we will see things happening in the world and we'll be like, whoa, it's done. It's a wrap. I've been hearing so many Adventists saying that. But if they had looked, if we had only looked, and God had to show me this, if we had only looked at our history, we would find out, friends, that as we go back in the history of our pioneers and in the history of our movement, there were times in our history when it's not, when one, we had Sunday laws in the land, every place in every state except for Louisiana, and there were also other times where a national Sunday law was right on the verge of being passed, way closer than we are now. But God pulled it back. Why? Because he did not have a people ready. Spirit of Prophecy tells us. This is the greatest work. The greatest work, and the question is, does God have a people ready? And this witness, actually, that I'm telling you about is concerned end of the world almost happening, end-time prophetic events almost going forward. But God brought the people right to the precipice and then pulled back. Friends, the witness of that is two witnesses. The Bible tells us upon 2 to 3 witnesses shall something be established. And friends, the witness is powerful. But we'll cover that at a later point. As promised today, I want to show you guys the work that brings about the end. And as we will bring into that, the parallels in our history as a movement, a Seventh-day Adventist movement. All right? So Jesus says, a witness must be given to the world, and what we're going to realize is this is a systematic witness, a witness that will bring us into contact with the people of the earth as we go out to them and as they also come to us. There are people who are thinking, I'm realizing it as I'm doing ministry, I'm beginning to realize that there are people who perceive that, hey, you know what? The way that the world is going to be reached is that they're going to come to us. And friends, that's only part of the story. The way that Jesus won souls is that he went to the people where they are and he met them where they are. And the reason that this is so vital, I'm beginning to realize, evangelism is so vital, is because as we begin to reach out to souls, it's not only them that we're benefiting. Our own souls become more balanced in ministry. We begin to leave the extremes behind because now we have been wrestling with souls. It has led us to prayer, to the study of God's word and the spirit of prophecy that we might stand on the solid rock. Many, as a result, the opposite is also true. Many who are not doing evangelism, many who are not going out to meet souls in the highways and byways of life, in the cities and in the country, as a result of not going out, you know what happens? What happens? Person has a Christianity that may work for them, but it doesn't work for anyone else. And to tell you the truth, many times even in that individual's own life, it's not working for them. Rather, what they have is either a loose Christianity or a very extreme legalistic Christianity. It is so winning through prayer and wrestling with God and the study of his word that truly causes us to become balanced in our Christian experience. That's why soul winning is so important. And we have examples of this in the New Testament. Paul, educated man, Christ took him, changed his mindset, caused them to receive him as the Messiah. And friends, he went above and beyond. He was years in advance of the very apostles he was joining. We are told by inspiration that the people were not where he was in terms of evangelism. He was ahead of his time. And that's why so many of the Jews that were being converted, they had issues with him. But he was doing such intense evangelism that he understood how to apply the word of God to the people, how to win them to the scriptures, and how to have a balanced experience himself. It's not that he didn't make mistakes, but we are also told in inspiration that after Jesus Christ, he was the greatest evangelist that ever lived. This is the work that God is calling us to do in this time. Now, how is this work done systematically? Yes. We go out to the world, yes, by our own personal lives, a demonstration is given. All we're going to see here is that the demonstration is also given in another way. There is a 12-fold work that is supposed to be done. Part of that work, we're going to see, is supposed to be done in the city, and part of that work is supposed to be done in the country. This is the work that is to be done in the city, and then I'm going to read to you a statement and then show it to you from the scriptures. The city work is composed of 6 parts: personal labor, house-to-house work. So personal labor, that's what you do in your own personal sphere of influence. That's the individual witness that you are doing in your personal sphere of influence. How are you reaching out or making plans to reach out to those in your workplace in tact and wisdom? You're not going in there and running in there and being a Bible thumper and trying to push the Bible on people. Daniel was very wise, allowing in how he allowed God to use him to reach Nebuchadnezzar, along with the other three Hebrews that worked with Daniel, allowing God to work through them by their characters, by how they operated, so much so that patriarchs and prophets actually tells us, or prophets and kings actually tells us, that by the time they were thrown into the fiery furnace, when it comes to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, by the time they were, the witness that they had given was so strong to Nebuchadnezzar, that by the time he threw them into the fiery furnace, Spirit of Prophecy tells us that the witness they had given helped Nebuchadnezzar to recognize the fourth man in the fire as the Son of God. It was not a coincidence. It was because of their witness, we are told. Nebuchadnezzar was actually able to recognize Jesus in the fiery furnace with them. Hence we read in the King James that he acknowledged him as the Son of God. And so as we look at this, it's powerful. This is the personal labor. What are we doing to reach people in our sphere of influence? Secondly, house-to-house work. As we go house-to-house in twos, reaching out to our community, to the community around the church where we are, have we been a vital influence in that community by joining into the affairs of the community that are pure and in harmony with the Word of God, that does not contradict it, and fighting for those things that would benefit the community? Has the church done that? Because there are many churches that if they were to die today, many of us want to assemble together, especially in the times that we're living in. We're saying, no, you know, regardless of COVID or the situation that's happening, we want to gather together, for we don't want to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But friends, while many people are doing this, the question is, apart from just gathering together, are you reaching out to your community around your church? Are you seeking in tact and in wisdom to influence the people at your church to form ministries to meet the people's needs in that community, right? Because the question is, if the church died that very day, if it was dissolved, would the people even care in that community? If the answer is no, then the church has failed in its work of reaching out to its own Jerusalem, starting with the people right around the church itself. So that's house-to-house work, going from house to house, ministering to the people, seeking to pray with them, seeking to connect with them, seeking to share literature with them, along with meeting their needs. That's house-to-house work. Then there's city missions / public evangelism. That's the third one. Doing a work in the city of that community, right? And so how are you, in the days of our pioneers, what they would do is powerful. As I've been reading the history of our movement, they would rent out halls, huge halls that were beautiful and solid. Inspiration actually tells us that the work of God deserves the most, it deserves pristine effort. In other words, as we do the work, it shouldn't look shabby. The greatest halls should be used for the gospel in our cities to advance the cause of Christ and to draw the people in, even in a neutral place. There are those that may not come due to house to house work, but they will come to a neutral place like a hall where we rent and we preach the gospel there. They may not come because of city missions, but they might come because of your personal labor. They may not come because of personal labor, house-to-house work, or city missions, but they may come because of the fourth one, hygienic restaurants. That's restaurants where we have situations where people are being fed properly. In other words, they're being fed in accordance with our health principles. We have things that might be playing that echo the same idea, whether it be that we have a television there and people, even while they eat and they talk, they can hear in the background the message of health. They can see their tracks in that place that they can freely partake of as before they leave. They can take with them to read, because ultimately the goal is to transition people to the point that they receive the third angel's message, right? Fifth, along with that also, there are remedies, whether they are treatment rooms and different things of that sort, where we can actually administer help to the physical needs of those people, even in that restaurant itself. Rooms dedicated, whether it be to massages, rooms dedicated to showing people things that can help their diet, consulting, allowing them to consult with us concerning health principles that can help them. Then we have our church with schools. Ultimately, it's to draw people to the church as well. So we have our church with school, a place where children can be taught the principles of the Bible. Those who come there, not only will they be taught the truth of God's word, but there's schools where children can come throughout the day and bring them there. And they can be taught by faithful teachers the principles of the Bible and principles of how to operate in everyday life. And then lastly, the city mission or the city work includes health food stores, places where people can come to get food or things that can help them in terms of health, where they can buy products that will be able to help them as it concerns their health. So that's the health food store. So these are the six: personal labor, house to house work, city missions — not just city missions, we also have city missions, public evangelism — and then we have hygienic restaurants, the church with school, a church with a school in it, where a dual work is done, and then health food store. I want to read to you two statements. These two statements are powerful. The first one is, I want to make sure I get this right for you guys, because it is heavy. All right? This statement is taken from Manuscript Release, Volume 1, page 228, and this is paragraph 2. All right? Give me 1 second. Make sure I get the entire statement for you guys so you can actually hear it. 1 second. All right. This, I don't want to get this statement wrong. I want to make sure you guys have it. All right, so I'm going to read it here. It says, there we go. All right. Okay, so it says this: God's purpose in giving the third angel's message to the world is to prepare a people to stand true to him during the investigative judgment. All right? So his purpose in giving the third angel's message to the world is to prepare a people to stand true to him when? During the time of the investigative judgment, and that's the time we are living in. Now listen to this. How does he intend to do that systematically? And this goes back to Matthew 24:14. A systematic witness must be given. So there's the personal witness, the individual witness, which many times we highlight, and that's part of it. But there is a witness that we see throughout Scripture in Israel. And let me put on, friends, my earplugs here. You guys are probably hearing the snow in the background, because I want to make this very clear. All right. Can you guys hear me? All right.
Amen.
Hopefully you guys can hear me.
Yes.
All right. Amen. Okay.
Yes, I hear you.
So, okay. All right. God's purpose in giving the 30 angels' message to the world is to prepare a people to stand true to him during the investigative judgment. This is the time that we're living in. Now, how does God intend to do that? Throughout Israel's history, as you read in the Old Testament, you begin to see that when Israel followed God, they had an organized system. They operated in complete order. And that order in itself was a witness to the nations. At the end, that order is to be repeated. Now, how is God going to do this? How is God going to bring people in to the third angel's message? The statement continues. This is the purpose for which we establish and maintain, here it is, our publishing houses, our schools, our sanitariums, hygienic restaurants, treatment rooms, and food factories. This is our purpose in carrying forward every line of work in the cause. That's ministry. Manuscript release, volume 1, page 228, paragraph 2. So we saw some of them right there. Publishing houses, schools, sanitariums, hygienic restaurants, treatment rooms, food factories. Covered them here. So there's an aspect of, yes, personal labor, house-to-house work, city missions, public, which is public event, connects to public evangelism, hygienic restaurants, church with school, health food store. Now in medical ministry, page 304, paragraph 1, why did we cover the city work? She states here, there is no change in the message that God has sent in the past. So in other words, what she's about to say here has already been said, but she's bringing it back because there is a temptation at times for God's people when they meet with resistance after trying the method, they are tempted to think the method doesn't work. But she says there is no change in the messages that God has sent in the past. In other words, friends, it works. Our work is to endure. What is the work? What is the message? The work in the cities is the essential work for this time. The work where? The work in the cities is the essential work for this time. When the cities are worked as God would have them, the result will be the setting in operation of a mighty movement such as we have not yet witnessed. God calls for self-sacrificing men converted to the truth to let their light shine forth in clear, distinct rays. And then I want to give you an example of how that happened in two churches, but one of them is emphasized by Ellen White. All right? This is given in Welfare Ministry, page 112, paragraph 2. During the past few years, the Beehive, this is in reference to a revelation in 1876 when the activities of the then relatively new churches in San Francisco and Oakland, California, were represented as two beehives. Now she focuses in on the church in San Francisco and what they were doing. Listen to this. She says, during the past few years, the beehive in San Francisco has been indeed a busy one. What were they doing? Many lines of Christian effort have been carried forward by our brethren and sisters there. These included visiting the sick and destitute, finding homes for orphans. Now, friends, you know why that's so beautiful? Because there was a time when I used to read, when I read the Spirit of Prophecy, and I would hear all these present truth preachers. They would say things like, our work, they would quote Ellen White and say, our work is not the work of the Salvation Army. Our work is not the work of George Mueller. And while this statement was true, I accepted it by faith. But in my heart of hearts, I said, Lord, that seems very cold. It seems like you're calling us to a completely intellectual message that has no practical impact upon those who are fatherless. But plus, in James, you call us to minister to the fatherless and the orphans and the widow. So, Lord, what are you saying? But I said, you know what, Lord? I will receive the message, even though I cannot necessarily understand why it's stated like that. Until, friends, I think we're getting a little background noise. Okay. All right. Until, friends, there came a point where I finally realized, whoa, that's why, as Ellen White says, we need to compare testimony with testimony as we compare scripture with scripture. As I started comparing testimony with testimony, you know what I began to realize? Inspiration actually tells us that while our work is not the work of the Salvation Army, while our work is not the work of George Mueller, and you remember George Mueller, what he did, Salvation Army provided a place of shelter and clothing and resources for those who were struggling, for those who were on the verge of becoming vagabonds, homeless. George Mueller, he was known for his powerful work of ministering to orphans and setting up orphanages for children to be able to stay in. And so I watched that and I said, how could we say that's not our work? But I said, Lord, by faith you said it, in inspiration I receive it. But friends, God was good to his word. And he showed me how we are to really take this statement in light of the entirety of the spirit of prophecy. Do you know that inspiration actually says to us that when it comes to the orphans, when it comes to those who have been cast out or those who are fatherless, those who have no home, friends, inspiration actually tells us that we are to take those children that are orphans. Yeah, we're not meant to do the work of the Salvation Army. She says, even though it was a good work, nor the work of George Mueller, even though it was a good work. But you know what she says? As you read the entirety of Spirit of Prophecy, realize she's saying we must do an even closer work. When you look at the life of Ellen White, she actually says that she took in orphans. She took in children herself. And her husband, and later on herself, she trained those children up in the way of the third angel's message. Yeah. We're not meant to do the work of the Salvation Army, nor the work of George Mueller. Friends, we're not meant to, build shelters, or our emphasis shouldn't be shelters. Why? Because our homes should become the very shelter itself. It's powerful. She even rebukes, as you read Welfare Ministry, men and women that were women and men of means. They had homes. They had the facilities, but yet they would not take in children. They would not take those children in and train them in the third angel's message, providing for them the resources that they need. Yeah, we're not meant to do the work of the Salvation Army, nor George Mueller. We were meant to do an even closer work than they, taking these very children into our own homes and training them. When I saw that, friends, wow, I said, God, thank you for teaching me to trust you until I understood what you were saying. For now, this is practical. But it's not only that they were doing. It says these included visiting the sick and destitute, finding homes for orphans, and work for the unemployed. So they were finding homes for orphans with other people or with themselves. And then they would also find work for the unemployed. That's powerful. So in a society today where people are struggling when it comes to jobs or when they're trying to make ends meet, part of the church at that time, they recognized, is we got to get people employed. And the amazing thing is in some of these things that we are called to set up, whether it be hygienic restaurants or health food stores, we can hire those who are willing to be employed by us and willing to abide by the principles, religious and practical, of the very organization, restaurant, or health food store that we're working. And by so doing, influence them into the third angel's message. All of these vehicles, all of these personal labor, house styles work, city missions, hygienic restaurant, church, health food store, all of these are doors leading in to the third angel's message. Somebody may never come to the church at first, but they'll come to one of the restaurants. And as they come to the hygienic restaurant and their health is ministered to, it becomes an entering wedge, a door that opens to the third angel's message. It continues, these included visiting the sick and destitute, finding homes for orphans, and work for the unemployed, nursing the sick, teaching the truth from house to house, distributing literature, and conducting classes on helpful living and the care of the sick. A school for the children has been conducted in the basement of the Laguna Street Meeting House. Do you know what a meeting house is? It's a church. So a church with a school to teach the children. For a time, workmen's homes and medical mission was maintained. On Market Street, near the City Hall, there were treatment rooms operated as a branch of the St. Helena Sanitarium. In the same locality was a health food store. So you see the whole system together in one city. Near the center of the city, not far from the Call Building, was conducted a vegetarian cafe, which was open 6 days in the week and entirely closed on Sabbath. Along the waterfront ship, mission work was carried on. So people were out there witnessing to the people. At various times, our ministers, here it is, here's the city missions and public evangelism. At various times, our ministers conducted meetings in large halls in the city. Thus, here it is, by this means, or in this manner, the warning message was given by many. So do we see what we're seeing here as we close? And next week we're going to look at it in Scripture in Matthew 10, to read that, Matthew 10 and Luke 10. But do you see what was going on here? They were doing personal labor, house-to-house work, city missions, public evangelism in the halls of the city, hygienic restaurants in the same city, church with school in the same city, health food store in the same city. So they were working that city. There was almost no way that that city could not have heard the final warning message. Not just in word, friends, not just by talking. Friends, they were doing a practical work in meeting the people's needs. They weren't just teaching them about health, which is one way, of course, but they were visiting the sick and destitute, finding homes for orphans. It's not this, and this is one of the things that I realize, especially among many present truthers. We may have an intellectual knowledge of the truth, but many times the areas in which we fail is like we're like, the truth has got to get out. The truth has got to get out. We got to get this message out. But there is no practical work of meeting the people where they are. There are people in the cities that we live in, friends, that have no jobs, people that are sick. There are people that have children who they are not attending to. They have abused them by neglect. They are orphans. But yet we are thinking that Jesus is coming. For people that have not been reached with the everlasting gospel, their needs have not been ministered to, yet we're busy looking over in Rome and saying, because of what the man of sin is doing, it's over. God is saying, people, pattern and do the work that we are called to do. I'm not saying that the man of sin won't have a part to play in final events. Of course, we know what we were told. But friends, while there is a work to be done of giving out literature, there is a work, while there is a work to be done of preaching, there is a work to be done of meeting the needs of the people. Because you see, that little orphan, as you minister to him or her, that is a way that they will hear the message and see it in action. Because they'll see, whoa, these people care about my needs. They don't just care about preaching to me. They don't just care about giving me literature. They see that I'm hungry. They see that I don't have a job. They see that I'm an orphan. And they're here to help me with that very need. As we do this in our communities, friends, you will see what will happen. As we are told, when the cities are worked as God would have them, the result will be the setting in operation of a mighty movement such as we have not yet witnessed. This is the work, friends. And as a result of being introduced to the third angel's message, we'll be able to then lead them right back to church. And then what do you think will be the result? They will then become disciples, replicating the same order that we just read of city work. But we'll end off there for now. Let's have a word of prayer, and I pray that this made sense to each and every one of us. Father in heaven, we've covered much, and I pray, O God, that you will give us wisdom and understanding and guide us. And Lord, I pray that you will give us a heart to set this work into operation. More than the preaching of the word, Father, we need living examples of this word, Lord, of what we have learned here today. Do this work in us, I pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Akeem. Brother Akeem, I'm sorry for using Akeem. My nephew named Akeem. So I'm always Akeem. But I, sisters and brothers, is Akeem. Tell him your name correctly, Brother Akeem.
Oh, okay. Yes, it is Akeem.
Akeem, okay. Yes. And sometimes I call his name wrong, so I'm sorry for that because
no
I have a
worries.
Nephew named Akeem. So, yes, sisters and brothers, I want to know if anyone have any questions. Brother Akeem would be grateful to answer your questions, but you have to take yourself off the host queue and press 1 again if you have any questions. But if you don't have any questions, let us say this: praise God, and I hope that everyone understand the message he brought to us. Now, Brother Akeem, now, Sister Power has a great motherly work that she does. She does it well. But and I know Sister Nelda have done some, and I've done some. But I'm telling you, it is a trying time to do that for me in this day. It is. Because the Lord has been working with me with some patience to deal with children. I'm telling you. I took care of children at the daycare for so long. I say, oh no, I gotta get out of here. But God be the glory, Brother Akeem. I just pray that if it comes to that, that he'll give me what I need. That's all I can say. But brothers and sisters, and it has many brothers and sisters that has patience. And even my sister Brenda. Now, Sister Brenda used to be the opposite. Now Sister Brenda got a little bit more patience to help take care of her. And I praise God for that. And, you know, I used to do it when I was younger. And I'm telling you, the Lord will help us when we need help. And, you know, we got to allow him to get that for us. So if there's anyone that need to ask Brother Akeem a question. I see everybody still have their hand up. You got to take your hand down by pressing 1. Take your hand down if you have a question. Yeah, everybody take your hand down. Take your hand off of 1. Sister Powell, let me just open Sister Powell because I believe Sister Powell. Sorry, Sister. Let me open Sister Powell. Sister Powell. I believe I opened Sister Powell's line. Sister Powell, now you're open.
Okay, I am here, Sister Leola. I'm here. Brother Akeem,
you had a
good
question?
Night. Yes, I have.
Okay.
Just a comment. Okay, you ready for me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Okay, Brother Akeem, thank you for this presentation tonight. But the work for the Seventh-day Adventist people that I knew, right, while I was growing up, right, to meet the people house to house, right, I saw they did it. They seek their needs. I saw the older Seventh-day Adventist, you know, I'm talking from a country standpoint now, right, in the country. And I saw these people, the old-time religion, where their little church was not magnificent with, like, these buildings here, right? But I saw these people, I grew up and saw these people actually knew every one of their brothers and sisters in the little community, right? I saw these people go house to house, door to door. When they are in their field, they have certain set of people come with them, plant their crops, and when the other family have their field going, they go. That's what I saw. I saw these people have a little school, not school like what is here, you know, and with children in the community. I saw that. I saw people open their house, not mansion they have, bringing family of six, and they're in their little house until they got on their feet. So I grew up in a community before I leave to Kingstown, and I saw how those communities, Seventh-day Adventist community, grew, how they work with the individual in each community. When in Kingstown now is the bigger, you know, you will find better churches, and churches have, some of them have their hall, some have schools, because I know I went to Kingsway High School, a Seventh-day Adventist High School, and I know those churches used to supply food for those who would need. So I grew up to, so I saw quite a few of these things. And when I came now here, you know, I was expecting, right, to see a more developed living within our church settings, right? More not just only preaching and really to follow Christ's example, right? So it is very important, and that is what Christ wants us to do. Every child of God supposed to follow the example of Christ. And when I was reading this, what you said, it said, never was there such an evangelist as Christ. He was the majesty of heaven, but he humbled himself to take our nature, that we might meet men where they are. Christ meets men where they are. And he are expecting us right now in this last days to meet people where they are. We may not be able to, you know, beat them some places, but if we are in a community where we have neighbors. We are in a community, we go to stores. We are in a community, we saw people walking on the street. We may not have a health store there, but the word of God, by pointing the love of Christ that is within you, these people saw your light, right? And you are sharing with them. So this is what the Lord wants us to do. And I think what the whole thing is for us to follow Christ's example.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
You know, he didn't look on the poor alone. He went even to the rich, right?
He
goes to every person. And I feel if, yes, you know, we shouldn't allow people to say, this is what we should do. We know this is the message that we got. This is the work that we should be able to be doing. Thank you.
Amen. I totally agree with you.
Amen. And it's just the power. And you know that I've always had a love for children and elderly. And, you know, I love to do for them, but it come to the point now that I'm not able to, like I told my sister Brenda, you know, sometimes they say, well, can you keep the little girl? I'm like, no, I can't do it. Her energy and my energy low and hers too high. So, you know, but I love to feed them. I love to cook for them and feed them and everything. But because when they was here, they liked to eat. And mama, I want some red beans. I want this. I want that. And they ate 2 and 3 times. I said, y'all eat pretty good. But you know what? I love to see them eat healthy food. And that's the thing that we should make sure children eat instead of giving them things that's no good for them. So it's a blessing.
I'm not sure I understand.
And wait a minute. I don't know what's going on with my computer. It's telling me they're not sure they understand, but I don't know why they even asked me that question. But anyway, I just want to thank the sisters and brothers. I don't think no one else. Let me see if anyone else have any questions. I don't think nobody else have any questions. They didn't take themselves off the host queue. But Brother Akeem, we're going to let you go. We're not going to keep you any longer. We thank you for bringing us this message. And you know, and if it's not preach, and if it's not teach and talk to people more often, you know what? People forget and they don't apply it. So it's it's a blessing to hear these things, what we need to be doing in these days. So may God continue to bless you, and as you study all these things and bring it to the people, and we just thank you. And for so long, you have been doing this for the 9 years that we've been on this prayer line. So it's been very, it's been a very delightful time to meet you. I met you before. And your family, and for you to come on and share this with us. So God bless you and your family, and God bless each and every one, brothers, sisters, for coming on to share, because it's not Sister Leola hearing, and it's not Brother, any one of us hearing this message. You know who hear this message? You know who's seeing us? Jesus is seeing everything, and he see and he hear everything is being done here on the prayer line. So we want to give him the honor and praise and for blessing us here to be able to do this today. Amen. So God be with you guys until we able to hear one another the next time. So on Thursday, we have the health message, and it's very powerful. So you can join us on Thursday at the same time that you join in on Sunday. It's Thursday, Friday, and Sunday, the 3 days. Amen. And Brother Richardson has us on Monday. I believe it's the same time. So thank you once again, brothers and sisters, and you all have a blessed evening. And I appreciate you coming to join with us tonight. Amen. God bless. And we're going to play a song for you guys. A song, I'd Rather Have Jesus. Okay?
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain, or be Jesus than anything that this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything that this world affords today than to be the King of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than any sin that this world affords today.